everyone, my name's Daniel, and it's so good to see you at church today. Before we open up God's word together, let me take just a minute to share what all is happening. As a church, we love to help people discover their God-given purpose and take next steps in their relationship with God. If you've attended the first two steps of the growth track and are ready to use your gifts and passions to make a difference here at Highlands, we'd love for you to join us tonight for the final step of the growth track. At step three, you'll be introduced to the Highlands Dream Team and learn how you can join the team and identify your next steps as a member at Highlands. We'll be hosting the growth track in person at your campus tonight at 6 p.m. local time. Childcare and dinner will be provided while you get the chance to connect with your campus staff and other team members. If you'd like to attend step three tonight, join us at your campus at 6 p.m. local time or check out the Highlands app for more info. Students, we are just a few days away from our Motion Student Conference taking place this Thursday through Saturday in Legacy Arena at the BJCC here in downtown Birmingham. Motion Conference is a weekend filled with powerful worship, dynamic messages, and intentional discipleship designed for middle school, high school, and college students. Taking place right before the start of a new school year, Motion is a catalyst event for students that sends them into their schools on fire for Jesus and ready to make a difference. Conference sessions are led by our team along with some very special guests that you don't want to miss. Every year, it's incredible to hear how students' lives are impacted at Motion, and we want you to be there. Registration is still open and it's not too late for you to join us at conference. So check out the website or connect with the student team after service to get registered today. We'll see you at conference. Men of Highlands, our annual men's night is just around the corner. On August 16th, men across our church will gather for a Lowcountry Boil, a night of worship, and hear a powerful message from God's Word. Men's Night is a free one-night event for men of all ages, so come hungry and leave equipped to be the man God created you to be. Men's Night will be held at most of our campuses and is 100% free. It's also a great opportunity to invite a friend to join. You can reserve your free spot today on the Highlands app, and we can't wait to see you at Men's Night on August 16th.
Welcome to week number three of the series that we're calling simply the Book of Daniel as we do a verse-by-verse study through the Book of Daniel, and I'll tell you more about that in just a second, but we've already said hello to all of our campuses, and I want to say a big hi to everybody who's here at Highlands for the very first time. You're so welcomed here, but I want to give a shout-out to the men and women in the Alabama Department of Corrections who we had the honor of being in more than 21 of those facilities all across the great state of Alabama. And of course, there are people watching online somewhere around the world. Grantsville, put your hands together and say a big hello. God bless you guys. And before we jump into the message, you may want to follow along on your device. Actually, there's a, if you downloaded the Highlands app, there's a, at the top, and it's only live whenever we're in a service, it'll say in service guide. And it'll actually, everything that I'm getting ready to show here on this screen is going to be on your phone. Also gives you a chance to fill in the blanks, take your extra notes, and I highly recommend take some notes and learn and grow, especially in a verse by verse series. This series is actually a response to a question that you guys have posed to me and to the church leadership to talk a little bit about what's going on in culture, the shift of our culture away from the nuclear family, away from the truths of Scripture. Of course, we're seeing all the chaos in our world right now as our culture shifts, and it's posed a difficulty for a lot of you of how to live in it, and we're actually studying the Book of Daniel as a playbook of something that has already happened that is similar, that I think is enduring, that shows us really how to live in it today. I'll set it up for you really quickly. And that is the nation of Israel continually rejected God. They were warned over and over and over that if you reject God, that he would remove his hand of blessing and covering and allow them to be taken as what the Bible calls exiles or the Babylonian captivity, and they were. We'll read about it here in just a second. The whole nation of Israel became slaves in where is modern day Iraq today for 70 years because of their rejection of God. And we get the Book of Daniel that tells these incredible stories how these Hebrew people lived in this pagan, ungodly culture, And he never bowed to the temptations or the compromise or anything that went against the word of God. They never bowed, not in one single time. But here's the cool part. They also had influence into that culture. And to me, that's the big bullseye. That's the target. That's how you know if you've done it right. Like, you never compromise your standards. You stand for truth. But you also live your life in such a grace-filled way that people want what you have at the same time. And so this is the beauty of the book. So we started in chapter 6. There are 12 chapters. We started in chapter 6 because I think it has the main idea of the entire book. So I wanted to set up the whole book that way. But it also fed into our serve day. And so now we're going back and we're doing them a little bit more in order now. And today we're going to look at chapter 2. Last week I talked about chapter 1. But let's go back to chapter 1 and just set it up really quickly. It says, in the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia. In other words, he had hijacked what was known as church. You could say it that way. And that's happening right now. They're carrying off the holy things and making them unholy. And by the way, they do them, treasure house of his God. And then the king ordered Ashpenaz, who was the chief court official, to bring into the king's service. So let most of them work out in the fields and do that kind of labor. But let's bring a few into the house. To the king's temple, some of the Israelites who were from the royal families or nobility. In other words, they had money and they had education. Hey, let's don't waste them out in the fields. Let's bring them in to help us directly under us. Young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, qualified to serve in the king's palace. And here's the key part. We talked about it last week. They'll teach them, or let me say it this way, they will indoctrinate them into the culture of the day. So new words, new language, the language and literature. And that's happening right now. There is an effort to indoctrinate our young people in our schools and different places into a language and literature that goes directly against the word of God. And we've got to stand up in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody. I really believe that. A smattering of applause. Anybody believe that out there today? Yeah. All right. Okay. I know it's because you're so busy taking notes. That's why you just couldn't. I couldn't clap because I was writing everything you down, Pastor. Okay. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years. So in other words, he would have to ask them to compromise their Hebrew kosher dietary laws to eat unkosher food, which would be a compromise of their beliefs. And they would do that for 3 years, and then they would enter the king's service. And among those who were chosen were some from Judah. And there's four main characters of the book of Daniel, so they list them here. Daniel, of course, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known by many by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we talked about last week the shifts, the marks of a shifting culture. Today we're going to read an interesting story that I just want to read you the story. I literally want to go through the whole chapter 2 very quickly, tell you what happened, and then I want to take from it three timeless truths that I believe are for us today. So chapter 2 starts like this. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. Now, I want to just notice right off the bat that the condition of the entire chapter is that the leadership now, following their own way, they end up in a troubled and distressed state. And I just want you to hear that because I want you to prepare for it. I think this poses for the church a great opportunity when the things of the world do not work and they end up troubled, that we can step into that space. Yeah. So the king went to his own people first, the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers, to tell him what he dreamed. And when they came in and stood before the king, he said, I have a dream, I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. And not only did he want to know what it means, he required them to tell him what the dream was too. So he wouldn't even tell them what the dream was, because they could have made up an interpretation if he'd have told them. Like, no, you've got to tell me what the dream was, and you've got to interpret it. And they said, what the king asks is too difficult, and no one can reveal it to the king except the gods. and they don't live among humans. And by the way, this is the sentiment of the world. You're asking for something, there is no solution because there is no God. But how many of you know there is a God? Amen, everybody? There is. All right, so this, I love the dynamics of the story. So basically, the king ordered their execution because they wouldn't do it. And this Arioch guy gets involved. He was the commander of the king's guard. And he was going out to put to death all these who couldn't tell King Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was. And Daniel seized the opportunity to step into that space of confusion and what would be death. And Daniel spoke to him, and I love the language here, with wisdom. In other words, he had solutions. And then he did it in a tactful way. He wasn't offensive. And church, can I tell you, this is the mandate of Scripture for how we live in our culture. And it says that Daniel says, just give me time to go pray to God and figure this thing out. And so they did. They didn't kill the guys yet. And during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. And when Daniel got not only the dream, but the interpretation of the dream, he prays to God. He's excited. And I want you to see in the midst of all the despair and chaos, the hope that was in this guy's heart, because I'm getting ready to teach it to us. I feel like today, the goal of today's message is to show you the disparity of the world, the craziness of culture, the chaos of our society, and even the desperation we have in our own situations, and see that God is still right here in the middle of it. I want you to leave here today with some hope, because he said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. He gives wisdom and power. He changes times and seasons. Remember that verse. He deposes kings and then he raises up others. Notice how much God is actually actively involved in ways that they could not see. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. So he sees the darkness, but he also realized he raises up the people of God to step into that space and be the light in the middle of it. So he says, I thank you and praise you, God of my ancestors, because God, you let me have solutions in the middle of all this disorder of culture. You gave me wisdom and power. You made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to me the dream of the king. And so he actually sees it. He actually gets an audience before Nebuchadnezzar. And verse 26, the king asked Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And Daniel said, sure can. No wise man, magician, no one else can explain it to the king, but there is a God in heaven. Listen, I want you to see this line. Everybody stare at it. Because I really believe the role of the church in the middle of a chaotic culture is not just to call out the wrong, but to let them know there is a God in heaven who can reveal mysteries to your chaos and your disorder. Come on, somebody, amen? This is very, very important. Yeah, come on, clap and praise God for that. I'm very serious about this. In fact, I'm getting ready to show you how God can do that, not just with the church, but in your life as you interact with the people around you. And then Daniel actually, I won't read you the verses, but he actually saw this statue. It had a head of gold. It had chest and arms of silver. It had a bronze belly and thigh. It had iron legs. And then it said at the end of it was this rock that smashed it all. And this rock grew up, a rock that could not be moved. And we're going to study this more in the last installment of this series, because the last six chapters of the book of Daniel are prophecy. What Daniel actually saw was the future from that moment, 483 years to the time of Jesus. So we're about that amount of time before Jesus would come. And he literally saw the different empires that would happen. The head of gold being the Babylonian Empire, the chest of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire, the brass belly, the Greek Empire. He even describes in detail Alexander the Great later in Scripture. The iron legs was the Roman Empire. And then finally this rock, a rock that would never end. In fact, he says it would be a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And of course, that is Jesus Christ. And 2,000 years later, come on, everybody. He is the kingdom that cannot be destroyed. I said we serve a God with a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. I want you to hear that. And I say these things in faith to you today because I think people are getting discouraged right now, even Christians. Oh, my God, what's going to happen to America? Well, God bless America is my hope. I hope he keeps using America. But he doesn't need America. He'll do it through. He'll pick another nation if he has to. God is still in control, everybody. And he has a kingdom that is never going to end. And, of course, Nebuchadnezzar was blown away by his revelation. And I'm going to teach you more about those futuristic events that happened, because Daniel also saw the tribulation. He saw the end of time, and we'll study that as we look at the 77s, he called it. Stay tuned, everybody. Okay. But verse 47, this is the last verse, and I want you to see this, because I say this again, I'm trying to get you to walk out of this building, regardless of what's going on in your personal life or in culture that disturbs you, that you need to know there is a God in heaven, and he is the God of gods. Nebuchadnezzar says, you're serving the real one. Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery to me. Now, I want to show you three things, and I have one single goal, and that is I'm not going to ignore the fact that it's bleak in many ways. What's happening in our school systems, what's happening in crime, what's happening in our world, the all-out division that's taking place in politics where almost nothing ever gets done. I see it too. Yeah. I understand that there has never been a nation that's gotten to this point and really survived beyond it. I realize that there have been empires that have risen and fallen. In fact, you go back to the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Persians, the Romans, the British Empire. They all rose and fell within about 240 years. We're 247 years old. And none of them were conquered by external enemies. They all rotted from within. I see it too. And it's easy to kind of, even as a Christian, to tuck your tail and get all discouraged and oh me, oh my. Well, I got some encouragement for you today. And the first thing that I see from this story, that while that chaos was going on, and God's telling 483 years of future. And by the way, he doesn't see just 483 years of future. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And you need to know that, everybody. You need to know that. You need to know that God wants us to know that he is at work. And he is in control. And what separates people of faith from everybody else who's going through the same thing, and that is that we walk in the assurance, even in the middle of the trial, that our God is at work. And I don't know if that speaks to your current situation where you got your tail tucked and you're all discouraged and you don't see an end to this. And I've got this problem at home. I've got this problem at the job. And oh my goodness. Can I give you a verse that I'm standing on in the middle of everything that I face in my life and in this church and in our culture and society, that I know my Redeemer lives. Now, I might not see it now, but in the end, he will stand on the earth. It's the belief that it's bad in the middle of the story, but we read the last chapter and we win. Now, I want to tell you something. You've got to know this if you're going to live a successful life. And that is that God is an intentional God. And whenever he does something, he's doing that intentionally. And whenever he doesn't do something, he's not doing something intentionally. So whenever God does something, he's doing something. And when he's not doing anything, he's doing something. Okay? And believers know that. That there's this moment in the middle. I did a message one time called God in the Middle. He's the Alpha and the Omega, but what about in the middle of this thing? And some of you are right in the middle of it, and you've lost hope, and you've lost your joy, and you're getting anxious. But you need to know, we will endure culture better when we have the confidence of knowing that he's got the whole world. Come on, some Baptists, where y'all at? Help me out. Don't leave a brother hanging up here. Right? Right? He's got it. He's got it. Look at me. Look at my eyes. He's got it. I don't like it. Yeah, but he's got it. He's at work, and people of faith know that. That's how do we endure culture? Knowing he's got the whole world in his hands. And that doesn't just mean, well, I'm just going to relax and do nothing. No, I'm still fighting the good fight. I'm out there. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm trying to get you down to, well, I don't worry about it then. No, I don't mind you still trying to do something about things, and I'm for that. But he's got it. Here's the second thing, and that is that God wants us to speak life into the confusion of the world. So I don't think that I've ever charged you with this before. But I'm going to charge the church. I'm going to try to energize you and build you up today to let you know that if you'll allow God, he will fill you with the Holy Spirit and give you wisdom to situations that your friends and your people at work, that they don't know what to do, but you're able to speak life into it, pray with them, and see that thing turn. Did you know that that was the role of the local church? Not the pastors, not the preachers, us, to go into the confusion of the world, to be like Joseph when there's a famine and have the wisdom to store up grain for 7 years. To be like Daniel all throughout the stories. We're going to read another one in chapter 5 where they were in complete distress and they said, oh, there's a man who knows what to do. And wouldn't it be great that when people go through life's situation, they say, oh, I know somebody. I know that we ought to call them. They'll pray. This thing will turn. They'll have an answer. They'll give a solution. And I'm trying to let you know, well, I don't know if I can do that, Pastor. Yes, you can. Because you're not doing it by your own ability. You're doing it full of the Holy Spirit. Come on, somebody. Come on, give God praise if you really believe it. Did you know that the Holy Spirit's not there for fun? He's there for function. Wow. People treat the Holy Spirit like a heavenly goosebumps. No, the Holy Spirit's there to give you wisdom about things that you have no idea about. He is called, the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Wisdom. In fact, in the chaos of the early church, they weren't 6 chapters in and they're already fighting. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, verse 3, brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And I'm going to tell you, God will show them what to do. They'll get it worked out. They put, listen to me, write this in your notes, you note takers. They put order into confusion. Order. I'll never forget in the second year of our church, back when the office of the church, we didn't have an office here for almost 2 years. I always say the office of the church was this cell phone on my hip. Remember we used to clip them to our hips, everybody? You know, and I was walking around, Church of the Highlands, can I help you? Can I speak to the pastor? Speaking, you know, that's all there is right here. And so I'll never forget this one person said, do you do counseling? And I said, well, sure, we'd be happy to counsel you. I said, what's going on? And the mom talked about her son who was addicted to drugs. And I said, well, do you go to another church? Always, because as a matter of respect, I always want to, if I can, turn them back to their local church if they're already involved in one. I said, well, do you go to a local church? And she said, I'm just going to tell you what she said. She says, yeah, I brought him to them, and they said he's predestined to be addicted. And she goes, I just don't believe that. I said, you come on over here. And the poor lady came in sobbing. When a mom's got her little son, come on, somebody, that is going through something, man, what she won't do. And I said, and we prayed and got him involved in, we have some small groups that deal with addiction and some programs. In less than a year, he was completely off drugs. I'm happy to tell you, 21 years later, he's still free. Come on, somebody. Come on, order in all the confusion. We will impact culture better when we are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. And that's not restricted to a pastor or a minister or somebody on a church staff. Listen to me, God can do that in you. And here's the last one. And that is that God wants us to embrace the times and seasons. And what I mean by that is don't curse the darkness. Bring the light. And it's an attitude. For a lot of people, you're not seeing the opportunity in the middle of the disorder. And so it gets you, you're in a bad mood about it. And if you don't see things the right way, you won't respond the right way. But if you see things as an opportunity, even as bad as it is, if you see it as an opportunity, you then know, well, I was made for this. I was made for, God, listen to me, God intentionally put every one of us into the seasons that we're living in. Yeah. He looked across time. He says, I'm going to put old Chris Hodges right over there in a pandemic. God sees, and he placed us knowing, and he has confidence in us today, but you have to see it the right way. I love what Jesus said as he was contemplating the cross. Jesus, because he was fully God, was still fully human. And he's contemplating the cross. And the Bible, this is Jesus talking. He says, my soul is troubled. Now that was his emotions, not the spirit part of him. He's thinking, I'm getting ready to have nails in my hands. I'm getting ready to be beat to a pulp. And he's actually having this moment. In fact, in one place he prayed, Lord, is there any way we can figure out a way to pay for sins other than this? Is there any way this, he called it this cup, can this cup pass from me? And then watch this line. Somebody needs to hear this. So what shall I say when my soul is troubled? Look in my eyes. I'm getting ready to help you a little bit. For some of you, your real problem isn't your problem. It's the narrative you're telling yourself about your problem. It's self-talk. Some of you are endlessly in self-talk right now. Psychologists call it ruminating. And it's where you're in, I'm not denying your distress. I'm just denying how you're actually exacerbating it and making it actually worse. Now I know, because I've done this. I've had nights on Sunday nights, having the most amazing Sunday ever, sit on the couch and have negative thoughts come in my mind. Why did you say that? Why did you just, I critique myself. Next thing you know, I'm, you know, just all in self-talk. It's a dangerous place. And Jesus said, what am I going to say to myself when my soul is troubled? Now watch what he says. He changes the narrative. He's going to the cross. And his self-talk was, it was for this very reason I came to the earth. I was made for this. I was made for this moment. And he encouraged himself. He didn't despise the cross. He turned it into the joy. Hebrews 12 says, the joy set before him that he could pay for your sins and mine. Here's the final statement. We will embrace our role and culture better than when we realize, and I was made for this. I was made for this. I thought I'd close by giving you my interpretation of the seasons we live in. Since the whole book of Daniel, the second chapter, I'm sorry, of the book of Daniel was really about times and seasons and predicting the future, I'm just going to give you what I believe is my take on it. I think we're in three seasons right now. I think the first season is what I'm calling the season of hostility. And this is not new to us. This is promised by your Savior. The one you said you would make your Lord said, hey, by the way, they're going to hate you because of me. You're going to have some haters. They're going to hate you. And they're going to despise you. And they're going to reject you. In fact, you look throughout church history, the church endured great persecution, of which we really not even coming close. Paul, though, had this amazing attitude in the middle of it. Even when he was imprisoned for the gospel, never been there. I tell myself, Chris, stop your whining. When's the last time you've been flogged, brother? Listen, you know what I'm saying? And Paul's flogged and imprisoned. And he just like, I'm okay. Why? Because he had the hope of heaven. Right in the middle of it, even the hostility, there's a solution, and it's the eternal perspective. In fact, they said, Paul, if you don't stop preaching, we'll cut your head off. He goes, would you? Because I can't figure out whether to live as Christ or to die as gain, and you would settle that dilemma, cut it off. Like, what do you do with a person like that? Well, you can't threaten me with heaven. And that's why Jesus said in his end time dissertation of Luke 21, you want to read Jesus' dissertation, what the end times look like? Brother's going to betray brother. You're going to be hate, like earthquakes, famines. When you see these things take place, stand up, lift up your heads, your redemption draws nigh. I call it living above the clouds. If you've ever flown out of the airport and it's raining at the airport, and your bags, they're on the conveyor belt, and they stop, and there's just rain's getting them all wet. It's the most depressing thing ever. Like, oh my goodness. move it, please. And then the captain comes on. We're liable to experience some turbulence. Yeah. It's rough weather out there. Yeah. Gonna be some bumps. Tighten it up. Yeah. And you take off, and then you go through the cloud layer. You are now free to move about the cabin. Yeah. Why? Same space geographically. But one's below the clouds, in the noise, in the chatter, in the godlessness. One of it's above the clouds. Come on, somebody. Where are you going to live? I'm going to live above the clouds. Second is, we are in a season of harvest. I don't have time to read the whole verse. It's on your app. But Jesus said, there's going to be all this bad stuff. But at the same time of all the bad stuff, the gospel is going to be preached at a high level. So the bad is going to get worse, but the gospel is going to advance. And it's happening. We got this from the Center for the Study of Global Christianity at Gordon Cromwell Seminary, which our mission team works with. And just in the last 23 years, the number of Christians has almost grown by a billion. In 2000, there was 1.8 billion Christians. In 2023, 2.5 billion. I know we look around, see, oh, it's not, I don't see that around here. Yeah, because America's only one of 17 nations that the gospel is not growing faster than population. It's the gospel exploding. Africa alone has grown nearly double in 23 years. 718 million Christians. In Asia, same thing, nearly double in a 23-year period. Bibles in 23 years has gone from 54 million a year printed to 95 million every year we're putting out there. That's right. And we're a part of every bit of that with our missions giving. I mean, last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 975 people documented, names and addresses, from serve day and Sunday, 975 people gave their life to Jesus right here in this house. Come on, give God some praise. It's a season of harvest. I know it's hard, but it's a season of harvest. We can endure a little bit of the hard, keep that season of harvest going. We get ready to have 12,000 students gather to worship the name of Jesus. Yeah. But finally, it's also a season of holiness. Meaning you better decide. This is not a time to be a gray Christian, lukewarm Christian. You better pick. I'm going to tell you, you're going to be forced to. And honestly, Jesus, look in my eyes, is coming back for a bride that is without spot, who love and await his appearing, just like the bride you would want to marry. He's looking for someone I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. Holiness doesn't mean perfect. It means I'm separated to you. I'm with the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. I think we can make that decision right now. There are some of you in this room who you've been living on the fence. I don't know if I'm in. I don't know if I'm out. One day I am. One day I'm not. You've been lukewarm in your faith, and it's time for you to be set apart, holy. Let Jesus cleanse you of your sins. It's time for you to choose, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's you right there. Pray this prayer with me at every campus. Campus pastors, come join me. Say this to heaven. I have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for paying for my sin, what I did. Forgive me for living my life without you. Today I repent and I turn my life, my whole life, to you. Because I believe you're the Son of God. And I believe you died and rose again. And today, come on, say it. Whisper it to heaven right now. Today I put my faith in you. In your name I pray. Amen. And amen. Come on, give God a praise for everybody who just prayed that prayer.